Good morning. Good morning, all. It's good to see you all. And like Ashley said, my name is Ola. I'm part of the leadership team here at Chichester. I think there's nothing for me to preach anymore. Everything that's been said this morning has been amazing. Honestly, it is just awesome to see God move in our midst. You know, we shouldn't take it for granted. We should always clamor and love that. Sometimes we come in and we don't actually feel like it, like Simon was saying. You know, but we choose to praise God. We choose to worship. That is what God wants us to do. It's not by feelings, it's not by the circumstances around us, what's going on. Because we go through all different sorts, every one of us. And that's life. But irrespective of all of that, God wants us to always, always praise Him. And that is how we demonstrate our faith. And God will always meet with us because He promised it. And He's a God that doesn't lie. No, He doesn't. So, this morning we'll be continuing on our origin stories, going through the book of Genesis. We've had a couple of weeks break for the Easter mini-series, and it's been wonderful. Wonderful to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, we will be going through the book of Genesis chapter 29, verse 14 to 35, which is the story of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. I love the Old Testament. I know there's a lot of controversy about the Old Testament. Some people just don't like it, but I love it because I think it tells us, it makes us understand the New Testament much better. It tells us where we're coming from, and we can understand why, and then we can then really celebrate the salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us and see how man has, you know, tried on their own to do it and each time failed. And making us realize that without Christ, we can't do it. He's all that we need, and He's the one that makes everything. So, just to say, this passage, just like the ones we read before, all the preachers that have come before now, it's got some different issues there. And again, you know, if there's any of the issues that we're going to talk about today, if it affects you, if you think it's one of those things that is really, really, please come and speak to one of the elders and they can talk it through and pray with you. All right. So let's read Genesis chapter 29, verse 14 to 35. It says that then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed. I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as a attendant. When morning came, There was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's brother week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again. When she gave birth to his son, she said, "Because the Lord had heard that I'm not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived. And when she gave birth to his son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. So he was named Levi. She conceived again. And when she gave birth to his son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Shall we pray? Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to get into your word, to be able to preach from your word, O Lord, and share amongst brothers and sisters here, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you come in our midst, that you open our heart to receive that which you're saying to each and every one of us here today. Lord, meet each and every one of us at the point of our needs, like you've always promised, O Lord. That whatever it is that we're going through individually or family or collectively as the church, Lord, that you will speak to that and you will lead us through and bring solution and salvation into it, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it's an interesting story, isn't it? So the background to this is Jacob was running away from his brother, Esau, because he has deceived his father and has stolen his brother's inheritance. And his brother was seeking to kill him. So he was running for his dear life. And he ran to his uncle, Laban, with the help of his mother, because the mother loved Jacob. And so they go here, but in the passage that we read, the one thing I'd like us to start with is the fact that, you know, Laban said to Jacob and said, "Tell me what your wages should be." For me, that is a strange, strange statement. Because I'm sure that a good number of us that are employed, employed, and usually it's the employer that determines what the wage should be, not the employee. Except in some circumstances, you know, where special, exceptional circumstances, where you decide your own, but usually it's the employer that determines what the employee should get. But this is quite different. And, you know, Laban just walked up to him and said, "Well, do you know what? You tell me how much you want to get paid or how do you want to get paid?" And for me, that is suspicious. And we can clearly see here that what Laban has done, Laban does not want to let Jacob go. You see, the Bible said he worked for 1 month before Laban walked up to him and said, "Well, tell us what your wage is going to be." And we can see that clearly, that Laban obviously realized that this guy is a blessed guy. And him being in my house is such a blessing to me. And he said, "I'm going to hold on to this guy, whatever happens." And we can see that clearly in the next chapter, actually, chapter 30, verse 27, when Jacob and his family wanted to go, he actually eventually came out. And he said in 27, "But Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you.'" He added in verse 28, "Name your wages and I will pay them." Again, so obviously from the word go, it took a month. Laban went around and, you know, he just went to find out about this guy. And then he heard that, "Oh, this guy is such a blessed guy. It's by divination, like he said there, that it's just going to be a wonderful addition to your family. And him being around, you will remain blessed." And therefore, he decided, "I'm not going to let him go." And most of the time in life, we find ourselves in places like this as well. We get given things by God, and we find it difficult to let it go. When God says, "Okay, it's time to release it," we say, what if?
If I let it go, what's going to happen? What does the future look like? And human beings, we do that till today. The fear of the unknown, the fear of, oh, if I lose that car, if I don't have that particular car, what's it going to be like? Or that shoe, I don't know, whatever it is with you, everyone, we're all different. And it's always the case with human beings. Well, I thank God for Grace Church, because Grace Church has always been a church that releases leaders. I'm sure we all know, we've all seen it over the past years, that leaders, God has called them forth or moving forward, and we've released them. And God has always been gracious to us as well, replenishing with great leaders as well. So there's always a time to let go. And here we could see from the word go, Laban decided, immediately found out, said, this guy's not going to go. And that's why he went through all that he went through with Laban. I mean, with Jacob, so that to actually keep him from going. If we looking further, yeah, actually, even letting go, we see our Lord Jesus Christ as well. He did it. Jesus Christ, in Matthew 26:29, he was praying. When God called him and God said, okay, obviously we know his ministry was coming for salvation on earth. And it got to a point where Jesus Christ had to pray with his disciples. And he went in verse 26, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken from me, yet not I, but thy will be done. So there are times we want to release. We know we're called to do that, but we have that thing, we enjoy it so much, and we don't want to let it go. But Jesus Christ gave us an example that we should, when we know deep inside of us that God is calling us to release that, we should let it go. Another example is Abraham in the Bible. Abraham, he waited for so long for God to give him a son, and God eventually gave him, and God promised him, this is going to be the son that, you know, I will use to bless you, and through you, you'll be fathers of many nations. And God now called him and said, that very son, I want you to release it back to me. You know, put ourselves in Abraham's shoes. I know I wouldn't have been able to be quite honest with you, thinking through what Abraham has done. I probably would have been thinking, oh, no, how is it going to happen if I let him go? But sometimes it's in the letting go that God manifests. And Abraham did. Even the son was part of Isaac. But Abraham let go. And we realized at the point, God said, now I know you love me. And we know till today that we are all descendants of Abraham. So what am I saying here? I'm saying sometimes good things come our way. And God might want it from us sometimes, and we just want to hold on to it. And that's what Laban was trying to do here. He saw that Isaac was good for him. And from the word go, he planned, okay. And that's why he started skimming. He gave him Leah instead of Rachel, gave him Rachel. And even when he wanted to go at the end in the next chapter, he said, no, please don't go. Just name your price again, because I want you to continue to stay with me. And that's always the fear of the unknown with us. You know. So reading on from the passage you're reading, from verse 6, we find Jacob's response to Laban when he said, well, name your wages. How much are you going to pay? And he says in verse 16, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I will work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel, which is that verse 18. You see, it's interesting, this passage, that little passage there, that here we're introduced to the two sisters, and the first thing that we're confronted with is comparison. Straight away. Oh, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes. Rachel was beautiful and lovely figure. I don't know about you. If I was Rachel, I'll be looking at this and say, oh, whoa. But that is what we do life comparison.
Right from the word go. And Richard weak eyes probably meant that there was not too much liveliness in our eyes compared to our sister. And you can imagine Leah being forced to leave in a world where comparison is the order of the day. So every time she finds herself falling short to her sister, because every time anyone sees there is a comparison, oh, you're ugly. you haven't got a lovely figure like a sister. You know, and for me, that would have dented self-assurance, our self-ego. That would have deeply brought that down. And she started to live her life in comparison to her sisters all of the time. Always playing the second fiddle. And we still unfortunately, live in a world where comparison is still the order of the day. We compare everything. We compare, I've got better cars, I live in a better area, I live in a bigger house than you. I've got bigger muscles. No, I haven't got one, but just... No, but we compare everything. And we, based on that, put people in class, in that category. And that's what's happening here. There's one example in the Bible as well. And this is, even no matter as Christians as we are too, we see this playing at work, but it's what we allow to play out at the end of the day. And a good example is in 1 Samuel 16:7, where this is where the story where God had just sent Samuel to go and anoint the next king, the one that's going to follow after Saul. And he went to Jesse's house, and the first person he met there was the first son, and he was tall, dark, and handsome, good looking. And he said, no, this must be the guy. And God said to him in verse 7, 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And this is what is usually at play in each and every one of us, every Christian. Because we go there, there's the natural self, that the first thing you see. But then there's also the Holy Spirit that ministers to our heart, that looks beyond the natural. He was the man of God. Samuel was the man of God. So for him, even with, as anointed as he was, he still, the first thing he saw, oh, that looks good, he must be the one. But God said no. So there's also because God here was the Holy Spirit ministering to him. So it wasn't as if physically God was standing there. So it's all played up in his heart. Because God now said, no, that is not the one. And we saw at the end of the day, they had to wait for David to come in. And when David came in, his description was not like the first one he saw. He said it was Rudy. That's the way they described him. And that was the one that God picked. And yeah, in this case again, we could see the difference between Leah and Rachel. Jacob, obviously, beautiful. There's nothing wrong in being tall, handsome, dark and handsome, or beautiful and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But beyond that, what God uses basically is the heart. With all of that, if the heart is in the right place, if the heart is good, tall, dark, short, tall, whatever, God will use. And here, Jacob saw Leah and saw Rachel and said, no, definitely Rachel. Rachel was fine. There's nothing wrong. Rachel didn't do anything wrong. But the comparison right from the word go, because Rachel is not as, Leah is not as beautiful and as shapely as the sister. Every time anyone sees the two sisters, that's what they say. But we will see later on that at the end of the day, God chose, it was Leah that God chose to continue the lineage that will eventually bring forth our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the way God works. So it was the one that was rejected by Isaac and by Jacob that God eventually used. And
It's also no wonder that even when our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world did not recognize him or accept him, even though the world was made by him. Even his own very people that have been expecting him through many, many prophecies that have come through the prophets, they rejected him also. You hear phrases like, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" John 1:46. Or, "Is he not the carpenter's son?" Meaning, if the Savior of the world is going to come, definitely not from Nazareth. Because Nazareth was considered as a lowly place. Definitely not the carpenter's son. And that's the reason why a lot of people, even some of the Jews, rejected and said, "No, this can't be." They knew he was coming. They read in their book, in the Old Testament, that a Savior is going to come into the world. And when he came, it didn't look like what they expected. It didn't come from where it should. And that, again, is what we do in life when we compare, when we put things, and we put things based on our comparison and say, "Well, if he's that looking, no, it can't be that one." And it happened to even our Lord Jesus Christ. So the natural man is always looking at the physical things, and somehow he thinks he can get to God through flesh, whereas God is spirit. It says in John 4:24 that God is spirit and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So everything we seek after, yeah, it's easy to get into the natural and compare, but God calls us to be more like him, to look at things even beyond the natural, like we see with Rachel and Leah here. Now, Laban's reply to Jacob's response, because Jacob said, obviously, yeah, that it will work for 7 years and get Rachel. So Laban replied, he said, "It's better that I give out to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but it seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed and I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And Jacob made love to her, and Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I saved you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" One, we wonder, why he did what he did, apart from the fact that he doesn't want to let Jacob go. But it is clear that the culture of the place, like he said, at the time, does not allow younger one to get married before the older one, and that it was the father that gives the daughter out in marriage, and the daughter has little or no say in the matter. And the culture was purely man-made, not God, definitely. Because all of that was created by man. But here is Leah, getting married to a man that clearly did not love her. But she was bound to him and had to find a way to try and make it work. It also feels like Leah had lived all her life in the shadow of her sister, her younger sister. Constantly being compared to her sister, being reminded that she's not good enough, she's not beautiful enough, that most likely, like I said, would have dented her self-confidence, and she carried all of this baggage into the marriage with Jacob, seeking and hoping that she might find acceptance in her husband, particularly when she started to have children, and her sister did not, and for the very first time in her life, she had an edge over her sister. But still, in all of that, she was still being rejected by her husband. But Jacob married her, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one that thought to myself, how come Jacob did not realize that it was Leah? If he was in love with her, like he rightly said. Like he claimed. Well, perhaps, maybe, well, he had one too many drinks at the feast, at the wedding feast. So, again, it's an indication for us, it's a reminder for us that everything we do, we should do in moderation. So Jacob said to Laban in the morning, "Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied in verse 26, "It is not our custom here to give our younger daughter in marriage before the older one." Why didn't you tell me before that? That's me. Why didn't you tell Jacob before that, before the wedding? "Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also, in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave his daughter Rachel to his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Clearly, Jacob has been deceived. He has been given a taste of his own medicine, because he did exactly the same thing to his brother. But I'm sure he didn't like the taste of it. And I'm sure he learned from that as well. And he was also pushed into practicing polygamy, because he didn't bargain for that. He wanted just Rachel, but eventually got married to the two sisters. But again, I must say clearly that God does not condone polygamy. And if you might ask me why, he says clearly in Genesis 2, 21 to 24. And I read that. I said, "So the Lord God had caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, This is now my bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of me. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one." So from the beginning, that's the way God has done it. But we see man struggling here, all in the name of deception, in the lies of trying to keep Jacob in with Laban. He did also just to make that happen. And then we see all sort of things happening, and then some of them become culture and life, and we go through. But right from the beginning, in God's plan, it wasn't so. And again, it's a proof, which is all that we've said already this morning, that without God, it's impossible for us to get it right. We just find ourselves modeling ourselves into sins and all sorts, and get into all sorts. But with God, we see clearly, by His Spirit, we're empowered to do all that He's calling us to do. And God will continue to help us all in Jesus' name. So, it can be said that Leah had spent most of her life looking for acceptance anywhere and everywhere. She wanted to be loved, wanted to belong. She found herself in one way or the other married to Jacob. She thought to herself, "Well, perhaps if I do the right thing, if I just do the right thing, I will finally be loved, be accepted. I too can finally belong." So she went, she gave birth to her first child. She named him based on her circumstances. What circumstances around her? That's how she named her children. Like we can see in verse 22, it said, "Leah became pregnant and she gave birth to his son. She named him Reuben, for she said, 'It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now.' She conceived again. And when she gave birth to his son, she said, 'Because the Lord heard that I'm not loved, he gave me this one too.' So she named him Simeon. And she conceived. And when she gave birth to the son, she said, 'Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons.' So he was named Levi. She conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.' So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. So she gave birth to the first one. I thought, surely my husband will love me now. Gave birth to the second one. Definitely he will love me now. Gave birth to the third one. He must be attached to me now. Three whole sons I've given to him. But none of that happened. No. The love for Rachel increased with Jacob. And then when he gave birth to the fourth, when she thought to herself, and I believe the birth of Judah, the last son, must have been a very significant one to Leah. She must have experienced God in a new way. During the pregnancy, the childbirth, in any way, she must have met with God and said, do you know what? I've been looking for answers in the wrong places. And then she turned to God. She forgot all her circumstances. And that's what Simon was saying this morning. He said he didn't feel like going to work. But all of that, he threw that away. But he said, but I will praise God. And that's what Leah did here as well. She forgot all the fact that she's not loved, the fact that the husband is looking, and although she's the one having all the kids at this time, but she said, no, I will praise God. And that is when salvation, at that moment, started to come to her. She started to see things differently. I'm pretty sure probably started to enjoy her life even better, and because her focus went back to the ultimate, to the one that could truly save her, truly love her, that will never, ever reject her. And that's what she did. See, God is the source of all things. All good and perfect things comes from Him alone. He's made all things perfect and wonderful. Our true identity can only be found in Christ. And no wonder the Savior of the world came through the tribe of Judah. Like we fondly call Him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, at this point, the realization just dawned on Leah. And she thought, well, I will praise God. And a lot of us go through life trying to get validation from material things. Like if I live in a better area, earn more money, that's a very popular one, have a better car, and the list goes on and on. But until we come to that realization as well, like Leah did, that contentment and validation only comes from God through Christ. Life can seem like an unfulfilled rat race. And I say this morning as well that there might be people here or people watching online, you know, that might be struggling with loneliness. If the band can please come up now. There might be people that might be struggling with loneliness as well. There might be people that you come to church and you feel like you are not part of the church. Perhaps you've been looking at the wrong thing or looking for answers in the wrong places. Let's learn from Leah. You may feel you are not loved or not accepted. The truth is, man cannot do it on his own. We need God. When we make Him the center, we will find fulfillment there. And we're able to do anything meaningful if we make God the center. So my charge for you this morning, if you feel like you want to turn your focus to Him, please do not be shy. Come to the front. Speak to one of the elders, one of the leaders here, as the band play. Or it might be that you need prayer as regards to some of the things that we've talked about this morning. Rejection, not loved, feeling you're not part of it. You feel alone. God is calling us this morning because it's obvious that that's He wants to deal with that this morning. With everything that's been said already, with all that people have said in the morning before this bridge, it is obvious that God wants to deal with that. So please do come out, ask for prayers, speak to any of the leaders here, and, you know, God will perfect it for us in Jesus' name.